This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Whakalofa lahi atu to all our Niuean listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me each week is my Tongan Kaui, Sammy Wyke. Sammy, how's your weekend, mate?
Big T, kia ora, maloila lei to everyone out there, talofa lover. Weekend was great, mate. I can't even remember what I did, actually.
Just, it must have been kids, awesome.
Yeah, just kids and more kids. All the nephews and nieces stayed over. So, yep, all the mattresses were in the lounge room, and they ate all the food in the cupboard. So, got to do some more shopping. But big weekend of footy, T, that just happened. Drew and Moana, probably not the best defensive efforts for them in last weekend. So, hopefully they can turn that around. NRL round 4, Storm and Doggies on top of the ladder. West Tigers are going all right as well, so I love that. And we'll have Shelley Long for Super W and all things women's footy, as well as a special guest.
A very, very special guest. And I believe she has a big family that you've got to play with.
Play with and against, yeah.
There's a
truckload of their family members, heaps of them, and they're very talented as well.
Well, on today's show, we have Super W player and Wallaroos player, Ariana Talakai. Is she related to
Sifa? Yep.
At so the Sharkies?
Yep, first cousins.
What a family.
Yeah, there's heaps of them. Mate, honestly, that's just the start of it. But
She plays hooker as well?
Hooker for the Wallaroos. She's coming back from a long-term ACL injury. But I feel like she's had a pretty amazing journey and she's so down to earth. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what she's got to say about her journey in rugby union.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, have you ever done the Run It Straight challenge?
I saw this on socials over the weekend.
Answer my question.
I was paid not very much to play professionally, and I didn't run it straight at all. It wasn't my go-to. I always tried to find weak shoulders, tried to do a Benji step. Running it straight was just not my game.
Oh, you weren't off the back fence?
No, I hated it. Not for me.
Well, last week they had Run It Straight come to Sydney, or they held a competition where, participants got to come, and they had two groups, under 150 kilos and over 115 kilos.
So they're the two weight classes. It's just super heavyweight and heavyweight.
Under 115, and I'm sure the guy who won under 15 was probably touching
miles, borderline.
Like 150, 116. But was
there a weigh-in like the boxing? Was there a weigh-in there?
No, I think it was just off.
Honesty rule.
Honesty rule, yep. Give you a bit more background. One guy takes a carry about 20 metres apart. The other defender, he's waiting there for him. They meet in the middle on a whistle and then see how hard the guy can hit him and then reverse. So they reverse and then the other person gets to have a carry. Then the judges will decide which one wins that contest. Collision, contact, big hits. And it was just cool to see. I reckon there was
over 2,000 people
community to come and watch two grown men just run it straight at each other. But even the people in the crowd, we had the Penina Pacifica girls that were staying out in Sydney. They come down there just in their training kit. Also had social media influencers that were there. 660 band members were there. Taitoi Vassa was there. I seen Sulla. She came out.
Big names.
NRLW, NRL players, and even just a lot of kids enjoying the event too. That was a cool thing to see.
They were really into it. If you'll see it on the ABC Pacific Facebook and Instagram page, a couple of the hits, but seeing those kids up close and personal, how engaged were they? Like, they were going off as well, like as young as like 4 and 5. Like, go get into it.
Well, there was like a bigger circle, and then by the end of the night, it was pretty much there was the only space for them to run. So all the kids just started getting closer and closer. As they were getting closer, all the men or the adults at the back, they were all screaming, "Sit down, sit down."
can't see.
Hi, I'm Stefano Otuokamanu, and you're listening. Oh, sorry.
You're listening. Nah, leave it there. Run away.
We'll leave that one in.
And you're listening to Nation Fleet.
Hey, Big Steph, if you're watching, mate.
I can't believe you did him over like that, too.
I didn't mean to keep that in there.
You kept that in.
No, I didn't. I'm listening. Hey, he killed it last week as
he
well.
He did go well, didn't he?
Beating the four-peat champs off the back fence as well. Put a couple boys on their bum. But let's head into our NRL and Super Rugby news, starting with Rugby League. Now, a few things that caught my eye over the weekend. Jermaine McEwen, a young Samoan kid, made his debut, 19 years old, for Newcastle Knights. He is his sister plays for Newcastle Knights as well, but she also represented Fetu Samoa and the Indigenous All-Stars team, and her name is Eva McEwen. Some sad news. Big Taniela Paseka for the Manly Seagulls.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
Ruptured his Achilles, so he'll be out for the season. If you are listening, Big Taniela, you know, we wish you all the best in your recovery. And some funny, cool news. After the Tigers win, we had the Fijian duo RP Korosau and Sunia Turuva going around saying hello to fans, and then they got given Carver Cups with Carver in it. They gave the clap, took a sip on the sidelines. How cool was that?
Yeah, that's unreal. I did see that. And it's funny, you know, you see that at the Drua games all the time. It's just a staple. They've got like the blue Fijian Drua buckets. You know the biscuits, the dry biscuit bucket?
The cabin bread.
The cabin bread, yeah. So that's where the water and the carver gets mixed in that, and they sit in the grandstands and drink it. So yeah, it was cool to see that Uppy and who was it again? Uppy and
Sunia.
Sunia, yeah, had a little cup. Celebrate their victory.
Well, the two games I'm going to cover is actually the two games that we tip, Sammy. This tipping comp that we do on Nation Footy Fridays.
I can't believe I'm on for it.
It's actually pretty close. A lot different to last year's results.
I was already out of the race this time last year.
Yeah, correct. I actually won that jersey, and I was probably going back a little bit. But over the weekend, I was at the 660 concert with Sala Tongatuki. And 660 being from Dunedin, I was like, man, I wish I had that old school Highlanders jersey.
Yeah, right. Did they have what color, the green one?
So if I win, no, it will be the maroon, yellow, blue.
Oh, gotcha.
But
yep,
the material,
yep.
If I win, I'm getting that jersey off you. Back to my two games. The Gold Coast Titans get their first win of the season, beating the undefeated Newcastle Knights 26-6. Titans scoring 4 tries in total, and 2 of them scored by Tongan Cousins, Jojo and David Fifita. Jojo Fifita's try was the first of the match, and it all started by an offload from their captain, Tino Faasomaliawi.
Beryl's out of dummy half. Tino Faasomaliawi over halfway. Offload brilliant to Campbell. Great tackle. Offloaded that to Kinney. Up to the 20. Got the fullback in front of him. Passes to the wing for Jojo. Jojo step. Jojo zip. Fifita scores first at Robina. And off the back of an offload from Tino. Great scoop up from Keanu Kinney. And he kept it alive as well. Talk about the show early on here. Great opener for the Titans, 4-0.
Big Tino was huge for the Titans. He ran for 140 metres, had 2 offloads and made 29 tackles. 2 other Samoan players who played a big role in the Titans' win was Keanu Kinney and Philip Sami, both with over 20 carries each and a combined 400 metres between them. Look, I may have underestimated the Titans at the start of this
year. Where did you have them?
Towards the bottom of the table. Wasn't
it's still early days,
great,
but I like that. Keanu Kenny, he's a superstar, isn't he? He's got spark.
And for them to only have conceded 1 try against Caelan Ponga and the Knights, you know, it's some good signs early in the season for the Titans. And Sammy, you tipped the Bulldogs.
Up the Dogs. I was a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. I thought they were going to blow them off the park a little bit more, but I'm just happy they got the win.
Well, they've got off to a perfect start to the season, making it 3 from 3 wins, defeating the Eels 16-8. An unusual first tryer, ex-Rooster and Rabbitoh Daniel Suluka Fifita. He breaks the Eels' defensive line and scores under the post. This was Daniel's first NRL try.
Play quickly though to Marnie, spins it right to Salmon, hands it off on the inside to Saluka Fifita, straight pass, 1 dreadful attempt to tackle, and he crashes over to score. Great start, Bulldogs. not a very encouraging start. Parramatta, lost ball by Josh Adokar, and Saluka strolled through paper-thin defence.
The Eels did respond by scoring the next try through Tongan Will Pinnicini after a nice offload from Tuniapolo, but the Dogs, they go on, score another two before the half, making it 14-4. Now, second half, I thought the Eels were actually the better team. You know, the way that they controlled the ruck, some of their defensive sets, keeping the Dogs to about, you know, less than 30 metres. And, you know, when you've got players like Stephen Crichton, you know, Sitili Tupuniua, it's tough ask to have that kind of defensive structure against the Bulldogs. But a huge, massive shout out to the Eels' new recruit, Zach Lomax, who he took 30 carries for 291 metres. There are some good signs for the Eels. They just struggled to find points on the back of that, in that second half, on the back of that great defence. But if you are an Eels fan, hang in there.
Hang in there.
Yes,
stay
you
loyal.
Haven't won a game yet, but after this game, there is hope. I still believe that, you know, their win is only around the corner. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. PNG Hunters had the bye. They've got their first home game of the year this weekend in Port Moresby against the Brisbane Tigers. And Sammy, in the jersey flag, we have the Cavite Silk Tails. Now, I haven't mentioned them the first couple rounds. They are up to round three.
You got some good news, surely, do you?
Because they did have a struggling season last year, not winning a game. They lost round one. They lost round two. But they have beaten the Dragons 23-22. And a huge shout out to Michaele Senebua, who has scored three tries for the Cavite Silk Tails.
Yeah, said one another, boys.
Yeah,
said boys,
on,
man.
They're
set
on the back.
Yes.
Just need that one win now. Let's see how they go for the rest
of
the season.
Got to back it up next week.
The Cavite Silk Tails, congratulations. Let's keep this winning streak going.
Beautiful work, Silk Tails. Well done. Well done. It's a long time coming. Love that.
Rugby Union, Sammy, what do you got for us?
All right, Rugby Union. Round six of Super Rugby Pacific. Hey, plenty of action. Plenty of tries, but unfortunately for our brothers across the Pacific, Moana Pacifica and the Fijian Drua, they were on the wrong side of all those points. First up, we'll look at Moana Pacifica, though. They took on the Chiefs, who were sitting on top of the ladder. Moana Pacifica were missing their star and their captain, Artie Savio, so it was always going to be a good challenge for the boys to see, yeah, who would stand up, who would lead, and how they would perform without him. But the first half, holy Chiefs. You know what the score was in the first half, T?
50-35 was the full time, so I'm going to assume it was around...
It's good to see you watching the game.
30 to 15.
43-7 at half time.
43-7?
Yeah, 43-7.
So Chiefs only scored one try in the second
half. In the second half, right at the end too. Like, the comeback was on. And so you look at some of the key stats, like 62% possession in favour of the Chiefs. Moana gave away 11 penalties in the first half compared to the Chiefs' 2. 16 missed tackles from Moana compared to the Chiefs' 8. Couldn't win their own line out, could barely win their own scrum, and it was just a half they would love to have back again and redo. But, you know, the halftime sprays, probably see Craig Ben, if you're losing by that much at halftime, you'd probably think that you'd be going to town on your team trying to get that spark and that reaction. But different story in the Moana sheds. Tana Umanga, he was actually quite calm addressing his team, and all the players were on their feet, locked in arm, just look focused. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit different. I would be thinking that the chairs would be getting kicked over, bottles would be thrown, and the towel would be thrown in. But no, they looked locked in. And when they came out in that second half, it obviously did. I don't know what he said, but it obviously worked. 3 minutes in, loose head prop Abraham Bolle scores a try from some great phase play in the build up. Reserve hooker Samalolo scores a beautiful try for tap play. Then winger Tuiatama on debut, he scores from a crossfield kick from Patrick Pellegrini. Then William Havili gets an intercept try in the 74th minute, taking it to 43-35. What a comeback! You know, when you think about that scoreline, you could think that the Chiefs would go on to put 70 or 80 points on, but they didn't wave the white flag. So they'd be very pleased with that second half, but Man, they've got to figure out a way to start fast. But for the Fijian draw, again, this was probably their worst game. 2023, when they played the Force in Perth, 34-14. 2024, they lost 48-10. 2025 on the weekend, 52-15. And it's sad to say it was the most probably, their worst performance that they've had of the year. And it's probably the way that they lost too. You didn't see their ability, like their efforts to compete. Like, you know, when you lose a game, sometimes you can accept losing if you compete hard, but it just seemed like right from the get-go, they just weren't in the contest at all. A lot of tries, soft tries were being scored around all facets of the game through set piece, line breaks, turnover attacks. So they'll have some soul-searching to do. They have the bye this week. I'm pretty sure they have the bye. And then they'll be back in Fiji where we know they're going to be humming and hissing in front of their home crowd.
What was the team selection like this week?
Yeah, some of the we saw Ika Nivere start, but Frank Lomani wasn't there. Caleb Munt started, so then he got pulled at halftime, and then Isaiah Armstrong Ravula came on. So there was still, I don't think a settled side, but hopefully we can see that for the next bit of the competition, where we can see some cohesion and consistency with the players playing plenty of minutes. So I'm not sure what the solve is as well outside of that, but it's not through a lack of, you know, talent, that's for sure, when it comes to the Fijian draw. So hopefully when they get back to Fiji, they'll be sweet. And finally, the Waratahs break their 13-game losing streak against the Brumbies, winning a tight one, 25-23. Rob Leota was a standout performer for the Waratahs, and Isaac Galea was unreal off the bench. And a big congratulations to Tongan Charlie Gamble, playing his 50th game for the Waratahs. So with the Super Rugby, with Super Rugby Pacific, the Reds also beat the Highlanders in New Zealand. The Crusaders beat the Blues in Auckland at Eden Park. And I just mentioned the Waratahs. So plenty of good signs there in Super Rugby as we get closer and closer to semi-final footy, T.
Well, up next we have Shelley Long with The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, welcome to our PNG Orchids and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shell, any news for us in the life of Shelley Long?
The life of Shelley Long. That's a good one. It's going to be a new title. Don't mind that.
Oh, it's been going really good, actually. I had a meeting with a lecturer at a university to do an emerging top pissing course, which will hopefully be funded through the education grant with the RLPA.
There you go.
I've got a line for you in top pissing.
What do you got?
Gyaman Stapwe. Do you know what that means?
No.
It means pick the lie. Listen to Fresh Off the Field, people. That's one of our games that we play, Gyaman Stapwe.
Well, we're promoting other shows here now.
We always do. I do it on the
just
other one.
With you. Right. Right on 1-0. Nice little bite there.
Yeah, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, when does that start, Shell?
Hopefully in May, online. So it's super exciting. When I had the meeting with the lecturer, it sounds like such a great course and something that I'm very passionate about, learning more about my culture. So exciting.
Beautiful. Is this something that you've wanted to do for a while now?
Oh, yes. And you know what? I've tried to teach myself, and a lot of players and friends have really tried to help me, but I think I just need to do a course so that they stop getting annoyed at me always messaging them, how do I say this, what's this meaning?
That's cool.
Is it the same with like every other language when you first try and learn it? It's greetings and swear words. Is that the same for you, talk pissing?
It is, like, especially when I don't know what the words are. And some of them girls, they always like to send me in the wrong path of all this, and then I find out that it's not the best word to be using. So,
well, I'm looking forward to hearing some of the words that you'll be learning here on Nijin Footy, but let's get straight into rugby news. So we'll start with rugby league. Any news in the women's space?
No news really coming out of the rugby league space at the moment. I think closer to the season, there will be. I do know, however, that a few clubs have had every month they're allowed to have a camp that's set over the weekend outside of working hours. I know a few clubs have done their camps over the weekend, which is super great to see. The Cowboys had one, I think the Titans as well, and the Newcastle Knights. In terms of signings, though, we have seen some rugby union players come over into the rugby league land recently.
Who?
Not surprising.
Not surprising. You sound like my mate over here. Rugby union then. Let's talk about that beautiful game.
Plenty of news in the rugby union space. The last round of Super W kicks off this weekend. Over the weekend, we saw Pinina Pacifica versus the Waratahs. That was their final game for Pinina Pacifica, and a great performance again for them versus such a tough Waratahs side. 12-54 was the final score. However, again, like we've said the last few weeks, I think they've definitely been building as the season progressed, and I think that performance against the Waratahs is something that they can be very proud of. It's a very strong side, definitely a side that I can see potentially going into that grand final again, and to be able to put a score on the Waratahs like that was great to see from them.
I was at their jersey presentation on the Friday, and what a connected group they are. Honestly, the jersey presentation was running late, an hour late. And for the whole hour, the girls were singing beautiful hymns in each other's languages, you know, Samoan and Tongan hymns. And, you know, they probably ran out of songs when they went to Oh Happy Days at the end, you know, and they didn't really know some of the words, but finally the jersey presentation kicked off. But
how does that one go, Sammy?
Which one? Oh, Happy Days?
Yeah.
La 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 la. You've seen Sister Act? There it is. That's how it starts off anyway. You enjoyed that? The listeners at home enjoyed that one. But a connected group, and hopefully Super Rugby is not far for them.
Oh, 100%. And I think that hopefully, like we've seen this year where former players of Pinina Pacifica have come into Super W teams, I think it's definitely something that will continue to happen over the next couple of years. And I'm really excited to see how much talent can from our Pacifica Islands come into the Super W, because I think there's that, you know, that Pacific flair that we have, and I think that can really add to the game of Super W.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what about in the other games?
In the other game,
women,
my Fijian Drua, they went over to Perth to play the Western Forces, and there was just this player, and I thought she was outstanding, Nasewa. She was incredible for them, and I thought that she's really put her hand up when they were in trouble and in times of needing some momentum to be gained back, and she definitely put her hand up and did that. On the weekend as well, I thought Niovosa and Nahomu's link up on the left edge was definitely something special to witness again. Incredible talents, I think, throughout that whole Fijian Drua side as well. And I definitely thought they had a lot of play. They had a player who had come over from Sevens who was also outstanding for them on that edge. That try from Nikothi was also outstanding, a sensational just individual try from her, a former Sevens player that's converted. I think she was outstanding as well. There's many outstanding people in that game, and I think although the scoreline didn't go to the Drua's way, it was 47-31, I think both teams played exceptionally well. The Western Forces struggled with the scrums, but the Drua also struggled with their lineouts, which definitely impacted them throughout that game.
It was good to see the Western Force get their first win as well. They've had a draw and a narrow loss, so they needed that to stay in touch with that semi-final footy. So hopefully, they can continue that run with Sarah, but also with the Fijian Drua, they get to reassess and go again. But like, it's going to be a tight finish, that 1 and 2 spot.
Oh, 100%. And I do know that there was a lot in play for trying to get a home semi-final for the Drua. They definitely needed to win that, so they'll be looking at what happens this weekend to see whether they do get that home semi-final or where they end up placing on the ladder. So as well as that, the Western Forces will continue to watch the ladder very closely, and they'll need to win this weekend as well. But with such a high-scoring game, I think it's definitely put them a foot ahead into that semi-final position. Over in the Reds versus Brumbies game, I thought Eva Kapani's knowledge of the game helped the Reds massively. Her knowledge as a forward to release the ball, pick it back up, go over the try line, definitely swung the momentum towards the Reds, and I think that helped them a lot throughout that game. There was a lot of incredible things as well played throughout that game.
Eva's a special player. She does that's one of the features and strengths of her game is that quick breakdown where she gets tackled, doesn't feel anyone on her legs, and she gets up, releases the ball and goes again, gets some easy meters. So very smart footballer.
Yeah, incredibly smart. One thing that I did notice that quite a few teams have probably struggled to do across the last couple of weeks is just fill in behind that ruck, which we have seen a lot of tries over the weekend be scored from, just not tying in. I think a lot of teams will take away what they've learned in these last couple of weeks in preparation for semi-finals, and hopefully for some that is semi-finals. But a lot of positives coming out of this year's Super W competition, and I think the game has definitely progressed a lot since last year in such a short period of time.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And if we have a look at the ladder, the Waratahs, even though they had the bye, they still stay on top with 10 points, and the Fijian Drill women are on 9 points in second. Then the Reds, 8 points, Western Force, 7 points, and ACT Brumbies with 4 points. So very tight competition, that one.
Yes, and this weekend the Brumbies will remain at home to verse the Waratahs, with the Reds staying at home as well to verse the Western Forces. So the Western Forces, again, another big travel time for them. They will need to try and win this game to stay in that semi-final spot. But as for the Brumbies and the Waratahs, they will have a great, strong game as well coming up.
Nice work, nice work. And finally, the shortened format of Rugby Union. Bit of sevens news. What's happening this weekend?
Yes, so this weekend the Hong Kong Sevens tournament is on. Fiji will be playing in a pool with France, Great Britain and Ireland. Previously in the Sevens tournament, Fiji had their first final game in a long period of time. They did unfortunately lose to New Zealand 41 points to 7, but it's a great effort for them, and I think they will definitely take a lot out of that game to move into the Hong Kong Sevens tournament moving forward.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hong Kong, big feature in the Sevens circuit, party atmosphere, so hopefully there'll be plenty of people in the crowd watching that one. But as always, Shelley, love your work, appreciate it, and we'll check in with you next Monday.
Thanks, Shel.
Thanks, guys. See you then.
Hey, guys. My name's Pauline Piliat-Russenballe, and I'm listening to Nation Footy.
Well, T, I'm really looking forward to chatting with our guest today because I've had the privilege of playing against one of her brothers, Sam Dalico. He's played for the Wallabies, Melbourne Rebels and the Reds. Unfortunately, I played with one of her other brothers, Chris Dalico, because I had to pick him up for training when I was at the Waratahs, and I had to babysit her younger brother, Gayasi, in Japan when he was playing for our New South Wales Tonga under-15s team. So I feel like I know the family pretty well, and they are an amazing family, but I'm so happy that we get the star of the family on with us today, Super Rugby champion with the Waratahs. She's also played for the Wallaroos, and it's great to see her back on the field this year after a long-term injury. Ariana Talakai, welcome to Nation Footy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is great to have you. And joking, by the way, you're Chris and Gayasi, if they listen to this, like they're all right. They go all right,
nah,
your brothers.
Scared.
Nah, they're all good. They're all good. But yeah, we'll get into it. We'll start with your family and culture, Tongan heritage. How much of the journey do you know about your family, village, and then them coming here to Australia?
I guess we'll start off with my mum's side. My mum's from Labaha. And my dad is from Gunungbottle. There's like lots of like, they always try and get me to go into the nitty gritty parts of their dad comes from here, their mum comes from here. And I'm just like, my brain doesn't hold that much information. So we're just with my mum's from Labaha, my dad's from Gunungbottle, and that's it. But yeah, that's as far as I know or pay attention to.
And did they move to New Zealand or Australia from Tonga?
Actually, my mum moved to Australia when, like, she was just in high school. I think she was at the end of her high school years, and my dad had moved to Australia as well. I think he'd already finished high school, and not sure how they met, but yeah,
Well, La Baja, apparently they're known for singing and fighting. So I don't know how, in what order that happens.
I reckon. Well, in my family, it's more of the fighting part. But like my dad's side of the family is the singing part. So
yeah,
but it's really funny when family gatherings come around and that. So. Yeah.
Well, Sammy must have been born, or your family, the furthest
away from fighting.
Because
yes.
He can't fight and he can't sing.
He's actually, the singing gene has actually got to all my siblings except for me. So I don't have that singing gene. It's kind of annoying a little bit.
And Sammy mentioned in your intro, you know, you grew up with three brothers. What was your upbringing like, you know, with surrounded by, you know, your brothers and your family in Australia?
I guess like I didn't know it then, and I didn't know that I was doing it then, but we're reflecting back on it now. Like I was definitely trying to like, these boys are bigger than me, you know, they're stronger than me. So I'm trying to like beef myself up and be like, yeah, I'm part of the boys. I am bigger than the boys and I'm stronger than the boys. And I definitely wasn't. Like we would play like knee footy in the lounge and have our Nokia like phone as TMOs, like on the side of the mattress. Like if we scored a try, knock it on that. And I just reflect going back on that. Like I'd skip over the part where I'd get like absolutely bounced off the mattress just to see my try. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
You do have a big family, like even all your extended family as well, very talented. But, you know, you playing that knee footy inside the house, what was that like for your mum and dad saying, like, you know, not to be like one of the boys or anything like that? How was that?
That was absolute. My mum hated it. I think there was a few broken glass cabinets. And anytime, like, you know, we'd always leave, one of us would leave crying, and it's most often me because, like, I didn't get to win. But for my parents, I think it was just like, let them go and play and just let them enjoy and play footy and whatnot. But, yeah, I think a few shout-outs to mum and dad for, like, you know, making sure that the boys let me win. So that would be
And for yourself, was it always rugby or did you play other sports when you were a kid?
I actually played league first. So when I was four or three, like there's like the local footy club. So I went and played for Mascot Jets. Back then, you could only play until you were 12 if you were a girl. So then when I'd reached that age, I stopped playing footy and then I picked up sevens. Oh, sorry, backtrack. Actually, the only reason that I could play footy was if I had to play netball like the next day. So it was like netball on Saturday or Sunday and then footy the next day after or whatever order it was. And then obviously it stopped and then I stopped playing netball. And then I picked up sevens when I was 15 or 14 and then I kind of not looked back since.
And was, you know, playing a contact sport and being like, you know, rugby league or rugby union, was mum and dad okay with it all? Were they very supportive of you playing a sport like rugby league and rugby union that's traditionally known for, I guess, for all the boys playing?
I think like for my dad, he was like pretty like, yeah, go play footy, like it's okay, like, you know, the boys do it, just go and play footy, whatever. But I think for my mum really wanted me to focus and on the school part, on the school aspect, or like do more of the girly girl sports, like, you know, focus on netball and whatnot. Tried that and it didn't work out. There was definitely a few conversations, but like I was a bit of a favourite with my grandparents when they were still alive, so I could do whatever I want. And yeah, I had a pretty good upbringing with that.
Like, that always helps, does it? Hey, the grandparents, it really that helps a lot.
It really does.
And was your Tongan culture a big part of your upbringing as well?
It definitely was, looking back at it. Like, you know, my parents and, like, my aunties and my grandma, like, all trying to, like, you know, instill this knowledge within me and where I stand within my family and how I can't, you know, hang out with the boys all the time. And there's, like, a certain level of, I guess, like, respect, like, that they tried to instill in me as I grew up, which I still hold today.
Was rugby, playing professional rugby, always a dream of yours?
Not really, to be honest. Like, I just enjoyed, well, at the beginning it was just playing with my family. And then as, you know, things, as we grew up, it just turned into I enjoy playing with my friends. And then one thing turned into another. I went from playing Sydney Uni with all my mates to playing for the Waratahs with all my mates to then, hey, guys, let's try and crack the Wallaroos. And then it just kind of became that thing of just, like, let's just play together. And then I kind of did that. And I think there was one time as a kid, though, like, I was, like, what, 15? And, like, we had to go every weekend to go watch the boys play, and they'd, like, Sam and Chris had pissed me off, and I wrote in my little diary, I'm going to be the first, like first person in my family to play for Australia. And lo and behold, I did.
That's crazy, yes.
Yeah, it was actually, like, because I think it was, like, it was 2016 probably. I wrote, like, I'm going to, like, be the first, like, person in my family to play sevens, because, like, the sevens, like, had just won the gold medal, whatever. I was not going to play sevens, but
yeah, being in the front row, yeah, it's a hard transition. Sevens in the front row, that's for sure.
I had just also had an ACL knee reco at that time too, and lots of things were really annoying me as a young gal. But I think out of spite, I was just like, I'm going to do this.
That's cool, putting it out in the universe like that and working towards
setting
it.
Goals.
And we will get there, because you did play for the Wallaroos before Sammy did. Sammy didn't play until a bit later on. What was the moment where you actually discovered that you were actually good enough to go all the way to the top?
Well, it actually wasn't until after my first test match. I had a lot of, like, a little bit of performance anxiety leading up into that first test match. So I was just, like, talking to one of the PDs that was on tour with us. And, I was just telling her that, like, I think I'm being a bit of a fraud here. Like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm just here to play footy with my mates, and I'm about to go and wear, like an Australian jersey right now. Like, what am I doing here? Like, and she just kind of instilled some confidence into me. And then obviously the kickoff went, and I kind of just totally forgot that I was playing, like, a test match, and I was just played footy and we won. It was against the Fijian draw. So it was really, it was a really good time for me. But yeah.
Did you get to learn where that performance anxiety come from?
This is the thing about me. Like, I'm a bit of an overthinker. So when I start to think about the things around me and what is happening, I'm just like, oh no, the picture is actually just bigger than me playing inside a footy field. Like, it's actually, I'm not really good with too much responsibility. So when someone says you're actually representing, like, our nation, I'm like, oh shit, like, I can't do that. I got to backtrack. Like, whoa, that's not me. I'm just here to play footy, man. And her name's Alicia, the PD, and she just said, like, that's all this team actually needs you to do. Like, it's just play footy. All the extra stuff, like the lights and the camera screens and all that, like, you don't even need to do that. So, and I was like, oh yeah, good, because I'm not really good at that. But yeah, I think that's kind of where my performance anxiety kind of stemmed from.
It's a great point, because, you know, when I think about our young leaders and, you know, the way when they operate in a footy team or rugby league, rugby union team, and then all of a sudden they get told, oh, I want you to be the captain of the team, and then all this expectation and pressure comes on. But the coach and the players only want them to, you know, just keep being them, exactly like you did there. It's like, just keep playing your footy. You're there playing with your friends, but you're just wearing a different colour jersey and a different badge and representing the nation. So
you wouldn't be there if you weren't good enough.
Yeah, and, like, actually verbatim, that's what she said. She said, you're actually just here to play rugby, and that's why you're selected. That's why you're starting today. That's why you're so-and-so-and-so. And I was just like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then I kind of just was like, there's this, like, little quote that I have for myself, and I just say it to myself every time I, like, either I'm about to approach something kind of a bit bigger than myself. It's like, just don't think, just do. Don't think, just do. I just keep repeating it to myself until I actually just, like, don't think. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't actually know what we're doing here, but I'm just going to carry the ball right now. But, yeah, it kind of just takes the pressure off me, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And to be honest, it's easier said than done. I wish I took my own advice when I was playing as well. But when you talk about overthinking, it must run in the family, because playing with Chris at the Tars, and at least your overthinking was for a probably better reason. His overthinking was, hey, I need your advice because there's a team meeting on at 3. I've got this, like, little sponsorship gig that I've got, but they want to film inside the gym. Do you reckon it would be all right if I'm late to the team meeting? And I was like, Cuz, you haven't played one Super Rugby game and you're asking me if you can be late to the meeting. I was like, I'm walking away from you. Let's talk about your Super Rugby debut. For the Tars, what was that like and who did you tell first?
I actually think I told, my brothers first that I was going to debut. I debuted in Amy Park, 2020, against the Melbourne Rebels. And, I told my brothers first and they were just like, make sure you throw your line out straight, make sure you do drums and all of that. Everything else will come after. It was a really interesting debut for me because the similar thing with my Wallaroos debut, when they were reading out the team list for that weekend, my name came up, starting hooker, and I was just, looking around, and I was like, are you sure? There's a caliber of other women in here who actually deserve to start over me. I am more than happy to play 10 minutes right now. You're all good. I'm all good. But, that same thing again, that performance anxiety of, okay, I'm playing for the Waratahs. Here we go. We're going to Melbourne. We've got to, got to gear up, got to play well, la-da-da-da-da. And, one thing led to another and played well. Got a few scrum penalties in that game, so that was really gone. And, the rest is history after that.
And how many tickets did you have to get for your family?
Oh, well, the first one I didn't have. For the Waratahs, I didn't have to get any tickets. An interesting, actually, story about my Wallaroos debut kind of comes back to the whole performance anxiety kind of thing. I actually didn't get any tickets for anyone, and I didn't tell my mum and dad. I actually told Chris and... I told Chris and Sam that I was going to debut for Australia, and then they were like, oh, my God, are you going to tell mum and dad? And I was just like, yeah, and then, was like, no, I didn't actually – I didn't even tell them that I was going on tour. I just told them I'm going to for an Australian camp, that's fine. I was just really worried that if I did tell them, hey, fly up to Brizzy, I'm going to, debut here for the Wallaroos – I was just going to get on the field and play absolute trash. And I didn't want to disappoint my family. I didn't want them to fork out money just for me to play crap. You know what I mean? And I just was like, I'm not going to do that to you guys. I don't want to embarrass or disappoint you guys. So I'm not going to do that. Anyways, at the end of the game, it came to the kickoff and I was like, damn, forget about the family and all of that. The game finished. And then one of my teammates actually ran up to me and was like, her name's Illy, by the way. She ran up to me and she was like, I've got a surprise for you. If you just head down, and she pointed into one of the back corners. She's like, if you just go down to that corner of the stadium, there's some people waiting for you over there. And I said, you're joking. And I just ran over there and actually Chris Ferg is our team manager and a couple of other people had organised for my siblings, my parents and my whahu ana, Analahi, to fly up to Brizzy for and watch my debut. So it was a really surprising moment, but I didn't actually have to get any tickets.
That's good. What were you thinking when you did see your parents' face and, what were the emotions like?
I kind of shed a little bit of a tear on my dad's shoulder. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. I embraced all of them and it was definitely when I got off the field, the first thing that I thought of was, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I tell my parents? You're such an idiot. You let all these emotions get to you. Sorry, I'm about to be a bit emotional here because I'm thinking about it now.
Now you're all good. This is, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Absolutely loving it.
We're both here just smiling away. And I'm just letting you tell your story.
I guess I'm super grateful for friends like Illy and whoever else helped out behind the scenes. But it was just I have such great people around me and I'm so grateful that I didn't get to live that moment in regret, that I didn't get to, I'm happy that they didn't let me live like that and just were like, hey, actually, we're going to tell your parents for you and you can just focus on your rugby. And I am still a little bit like that now, to be honest. I'm better with my parents and my siblings coming to see me. But if friends and, first cousins, want to come and see me play footy, I'm still oh, yeah, just show up, but don't tell me because I still get, a bit worried about it. And I'll think about you, when I make a mistake, when I say if I knock a ball on, I'm going to think about you and the crowd and, ah, she shit. And I'm just oh, yeah. It's just a lot of thinking.
Now that your quote makes sense,
yes.
Don't think.
Just do. Just do. You're really painting that picture of you do overthink things. But hey, it's all good. It's all good. We've all been there.
I didn't get the reaction, or ask you about the reaction of your parents. What was their reaction of that? First of all, you not telling them, but then that moment when they grabbed you, and very, very proud parents of yourself making their Wallaroos debut.
When I walked over to them, like at the end of the Fiji game, they were just like proud of me regardless. And that's what in their message, like they were just trying to instill that in me. Like regardless of what happens, they are proud of me and they back me. And I guess that's something that I guess it's hard for me not to accept, but oh, I gotta be good. Like, if I'm not good, then they're not gonna love me. But like, they were like, no, regardless, you play crap, you play good, we love you regardless. And I was just, it was really good from them. And I guess that was the message that I got from them after the game. So yeah.
Yeah, nice. And finally from me, look, the women's rugby space or women in sport, it's growing. It's growing in the right direction. You know, from a Pacific and cultural heritage perspective, what does it mean to be part of, you know, that significant change from pretty much the beginning of it as a Pacific Island woman playing a contact sport, you know, I guess breaking barriers, reshaping the narrative and doing it with, you know, players like Sarah Nagama, you know, Eva Kapani, Bessie Palu, Atasi Lafa, like what's it like doing it with them?
It definitely instills like, and it sounds so weird because I'm now kind of backflipping on my words. Yeah, you know how I spoke about like that responsibility aspect, and like sometimes when like there's a bigger picture, I get a bit worried. Like, I don't know what it is, but you know, obviously understanding the change and this new wave of change coming through, I definitely reckon like it instills in me it is ever more important today than it was before to be who I am. Because like there are so the names that you've just listed, there are so many other great examples and like of female athletes and whatnot. And so to be able to reach like more than just like, it's more than just like the people who want to play rugby. Like it's ever more important today, I believe, for me to be who I am. Great. I'm a great rugby player, but I suck behind the cameras and in front of the screens and all of that. Like I want people to know that who are Pacifica women and whoever else, like they can like look to me, maybe not for advice, but to be like, hey, I can do this. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's someone else who's done it. Chance, who's like such a great friend of mine. You can't be what you can't see. She says that all the time. And so like, if I pretend to be someone else, then someone else can't see me. And what if they want to, you know, not everybody wants to be like me, but like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like if people don't see that I can be myself, then how can they feel confident to be themselves? Hopefully that answers your question.
It does.
Like, it
answers it perfectly.
You, that's why I admire what you have done and all the girls, because it's a massive sacrifice. You've put in so much of your the rest of your lives on hold, and there's not really much financial gain right now, but it will be 10, 15, 20 years' time, and you will be the part of that, you know, people that set it all up.
Well, before we go, I want to take this opportunity and ask you, have you ever thought about playing NRLW?
Ooh, yes, thank you. Finally. Are you asking the wrong person? Because it's like props, because it's a niche market, it's a specialised position.
You just mentioned about financial positions in NRLW.
Has he sold the dream?
I have thought about it, and it's not necessarily been on the cards. Like, it sounds really not great. It sounds really dumb, but like, I've never really approached my rugby, especially as I'm getting older, like approached my rugby with the financial aspect in mind. Like, I'm going to play union so I can get rich and make lots of money. Ha ha.
Why are we all laughing so hard?
I'm going to buy my first house after my... No, absolutely not. So it's never been like... I've never looked at it from a financial aspect. One thing when I was over in New Zealand that I really resonated with was there's a former Black Fern, I think her name is Charmaine McNenniman. And she spoke about, like, you know, like, just giving back to the jersey, like, the whatever jersey you're in. I think she spoke about the Black Ferns jersey and that. But what I took from that was, like, for me, I kind of just see it as, like, no, I want to stay here. I enjoy here. I want to give back to people who believed in me. So I think I want to – that's how I guess I'm giving back. Like, I want to stay here. For other people, that might not be the case, and that might they might not be in a position to think like that or to be able to act like that, and that's so fine. But for myself personally, I want to stay here. I want to give back as much as I can, and, yeah.
I would love to have you as one of my teammates. A very loyal teammate.
I agree. But you're staying in rugby, yeah? So that's the main thing. That's, hey, on that note, honestly, it's been an absolute privilege to be able to sit and chat with you, go through the family tree and just, you know, see how you got to where you are today, because you're doing some amazing, amazing things. And I know it's a big year. You're coming back from your injury.
Yeah.
Waratahs, hopefully they can go back-to-back. Wallaroos, World Cup year. So big things on the horizon, and hopefully you're there for all of that success. And much love, and we wish you all the best.
Too easy. Thank you, boys. Thanks for having me. Great chat.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, every Monday we end our show with our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. But before we get there, Sammy, my score is 12. You're on 9. And
yeah, you got a perfect score, perfect round last
perfect
week.
Round last perfect week, round, and yep. The loser has to shout the other host and their partners a spa day and dinner at the end of the year.
Beautiful, beautiful. My wife likes Thai food, just to let you know.
All right, we'll start to catch up starting today. Now, my give me three is give me three current Nijin NRL players that are 33 years or older.
33 years, so the old Bulls.
33 years old.
Whereabouts in the Pacific is Dally Cherry Evans from?
I don't know.
Is he Samoan or Tongan? Is he one of them?
Is that your answer?
No. Oh. No. Obviously, I wish he was Tongan. 33 and over. Okay, this is. Can I have some time to think here a little bit?
You can have as much time as you want, mate.
Get the tambourines out of the brain. And
I don't have to go home to my kids. It's all right.
The monkey's picking out the nits in my head.
On the table.
Okay, here we go. Oh, how old is Junior Polo? This is a tough one, T.
It's a good question, isn't it?
It's a good one. I like it. I'm not complaining like how you do when it gets a bit tough. This is a really good one.
do you want a clue?
Yeah, can I have a clue, please?
All right. One of these players, I mentioned him.
Oh, Daniela Dupol?
Yes,
sorry. Yep.
There you go, there's one.
There's one. Makatoa?
Is that your answer?
I'm thinking he's like 32, though. He's like 31, 32, but I'm going to go with him. I'm going to have a crack.
Yeah, he's 32.
He's 32.
Makatoa.
He's 32, so I've got one. Okay, one more. Think.
Okay, you want another clue?
Please.
All right, the old bull at Broncos.
Deluise Hoyta?
I was just talking about Martin Tapau.
Oh, I thought he retired. Is he still there at the Bronx?
He's still there, mate. He's still there. Do another one?
Yep.
Ben Murdoch-Masila, Tyson Frizzell.
Yo, the Tongans, old bulls.
Siwa Tokiaho.
They're all Tongans.
And Michael Cheekham.
Wow, you know what, T? That was a really... I like that one. I like that gimme three. It's going to spark my interest for next week.
you got one.
Nah, one was perfect. That's all I need. But that is our time up for Nijin Footy Mondays. Make sure you tell your mates about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website. See you on Friday.
Yes, you will hear our voices on Nijin Footy Fridays. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.